Good afternoon, Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. Sunshine and warmer temperatures are in the weekend forecast for the Northern Plains. According to World Weather Incorporated, these conditions are favorable for the greater fieldwork opportunities. High temperatures today and Saturday will be in the 50s and 60s, with highs by Tuesday reaching 80 degrees in most areas. There is a chance of rain in southern South Dakota and southern Minnesota today and Saturday. The western Dakotas and Montana could see a shot of rain next Wednesday and Thursday.
New England, North Dakota farmer John Wirt has about three-quarters of his crop planted. Wirt says cold temperatures have slowed the planting progress.
Soil staying cold and wet, and our side hills are seeping water, and we're getting stuck, and it's been a battle, but the last week or two has been much better. We started planting on April 22nd, and it looked like it was going to be an early spring. We were excited about that because it's been a while since we had one of those. And then the weather just turned cold, and it just hasn't warmed up this spring.
And Wirt says the cold temperatures are not allowing the ground to dry out under the residue from last year's crop.
Yeah, all the last fall's field work this spring. In fact, we have some unharvested wheat acres that still need to get pro-tilled, and they've been so wet underneath all that residue, they just don't want to dry out. And we just had anywhere between 40 and 60 hundredths a couple days ago, and that's really the first significant rain we had all spring. Other than that, it's just been light showers. And so much residue from last fall. Didn't get the field harrowed or anything, and they just don't want to dry out underneath.
Bauer Trading President Jim Bauer is keeping an eye on the Brazilian government and economy. Brazil is experiencing some major instability that could have major market impacts.
And I know that Brazil is continuing to have some problems throughout the country with their president and with their leadership. I made note that they assassinated the port superintendent at the Port of Santos, which is their largest port, so things can't be going too smooth down there as far as what goes on between the government and the employees.
Bauer says that kind of uncertainty could shift business to the U.S.
That's something to kind of put an asterisk by and to watch it, because Brazil's been having trouble with this vaccine, not getting to anybody at all, just sickness all rampant throughout the country. And so I'm watching Brazil as a possible candidate to get themselves in trouble here in the next month or so. And it does indicate that there could be some more pending business maybe shifted from Brazil to the United States. That's what I'm kind of hoping for.
S&W Trading market analyst Andy Schisler says low trade volume is impacting the grain markets.
Nobody's willing to do anything. Don't blame them for that matter, but like you're just not seeing much activity in this stuff here, really. I kind of thought we'd be up today following crude. Stocks are down a little bit, a couple hundred in the Dow, but so you're seeing decent volume in the S&P, which is down like 20-something. Not a big deal.
The cattle market continues to chase the cash market.
Cattle keep doing their thing. They just back and forth. Cash cattle's trading substantially higher than where we are on futures, and some of the stranger things I've seen is just we're not seeing any activity in cattle either.
A cash flow crunch is anticipated in the dairy industry. Help is available from USDA, but there may be some delays in payments. During a Minnesota milk webinar on survival strategies this morning, Compeer financial dairy industry specialist Cassie Monger reminded farmers to review cash flows for the next 3 to 6 months and monitor budgets.
Think about if there's any discretionary capital purchases that you are able to delay and determine, you know, what is essential spending versus those that could be pushed off. And really evaluate timing for any facility upgrades if possible. You may have projects that you were going to start, and if you feel you may be in a position where you need to preserve that cash, delaying some of those projects, you know, might be beneficial. So continue to use the budget as a roadmap.
Compeer financial business consultant Matt Lang also reviewed Class 3 milk prices, reminding farmers preparation is key in managing risk.
You should be taking advantage of the opportunity that the market prices are giving us today. I've had upwards of 30 phone calls in the last 3 days about utilizing risk management programs like DRP, using puts, forward contracts in the outlying months to protect the prices that we are now seeing. There should be no excuse, no reason that we're not utilizing those risk management tools.
According to USDA Undersecretary Bill Northey, the Office of Management and Budget is still reviewing a rule for the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program direct payments.
We're getting closer, I think. We're a day closer than we were yesterday. We just don't know when the end date is. But certainly our desire still is to be able to have signed up by the end of May, which is coming very quickly, having details out. We've done a lot of work on software. We'll do some training for some of our staff next week. And so we need to be able to get that final rule back from OMB and to be able to get it published as soon as we can, so all the next steps need to happen.
Yesterday, USDA hosted a webinar to help farmers prepare for sign-up.
The idea on the event was mostly to reach out to those non-traditional customers, of course. So those specialty crop producers, livestock producers that have not dealt with FSA before. And it was really to introduce ourselves to them and to talk about the process. We're not, since we still have the rule in interagency clearance here, we're not able to talk about the specifics that we'd love to be able to share and look forward to being able to share, hopefully sooner rather than later.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The House is in the process of reviewing a $3 trillion HEROES Act. More COVID-19 relief for agriculture is included in this legislation. Farmers are expected to vote on the bill today. If it passes in the House, it is unknown if it will get traction in the Senate.
Minnesota legislative session will wrap up on Monday. Lawmakers still have a few things to accomplish. House Ag and Food Finance Policy Chair Gene Poppe says the Senate will consider the Supplemental Ag Finance Bill today, and that should be finalized over the weekend.
We have spending is the same between the House and Senate for sure. I believe that the Senate will probably amend our bill. We had discussed some other ways taking the money. We're taking it from AgReit, which is the Ag Research Fund that we provide to the University of Minnesota, maybe change the language there a little bit. The Senate is going to do that. And then I know we've got money set aside for farmers and producers who have lost markets during this time. And another key area that is of concern is meat processors.
The ag policy bill is headed to Governor Walz for his signature. Poppe says there will likely be more discussions, though, on the bonding bill.
House Republicans have indicated that they will not support a bonding bill until the emergency declaration is no longer in existence. And the governor has extended his peacetime emergency. So it will go through June 12th. So we expect that we'll be gathering again on June 12th, likely to maybe do some things like this. I don't know if beyond June 12th, if there's going to be a need to continue the peacetime emergency.
The Jamestown Stutzman Development Corporation hosted a meeting on inundated county roads today in Jamestown, North Dakota. Extremely wet conditions have resulted in saturated soils and excess runoff, causing damage to county, township, and city roads. The total cost of damages is estimated at around $3 million in Stutzman County, and the 15% cost share for FEMA funding may be hard for some townships to cover. Options for road repair and flood prevention were reviewed during today's gathering. Senator Kevin Cramer was in attendance to view road damage in Stutzman County. Senator John Hoeven also joined the discussion via phone.
The North Dakota Department of Transportation will receive $18 million from the Federal Transit Administration for operations and preventative maintenance, with a portion of the funds allocated for rural areas. The dollars are made available under the CARES Act passed in March.
New president for South Dakota FFA Association is Samantha Olson from Northwestern Area FFA Chapter in Mallette. Olson got involved in the FFA with encouragement from her grandpa and FFA advisor.
My ag teacher just really sparked a love for FFA in my life. She threw me into ag communications right away, and I really, really enjoyed that. When it came down to running for state office, she told me that, she's like, I really think you would do good, and you're running for all the right reasons.
Olson's looking forward to the year ahead.
I'm really looking forward just to get to know all of the members in South Dakota way better. We get to go to chapter officer visits, and I'm really, really excited about that because being in, like, their environment, really, you get to know who they are as a person and each and every student, even though it is only for a short time, but I'm really excited just to work with the members.
And Olson's currently a sophomore at South Dakota State University, pursuing a degree in education. Our Farm Network coverage of the FFA convention in South Dakota presented by South Dakota Farmers Union and the South Dakota Corn Council.
The Brazilian meat packer JBS is reporting first quarter losses of more than $1 billion. That compares to the U.S. equivalent of $130 million in profits 1 year ago. Currency valuations are shouldering the blame for most of that downturn. In the first quarter, JBS's pork division saw a sales volume increase of 56%. The U.S. beef business enjoyed a 4% increase in volume sales. The company warned that COVID-19 will likely influence financial results going forward. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Jenny Schlecht. Jenny, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week for next week?
Well, this week we're looking at just how hard it has been to get planting going in northeastern North Dakota. We've talked to quite a few farmers who say that, you know, their fields are too wet. There's still so much residue left from last year, or crops left in the field from last year. No fall work got done. And so we're looking at how not only the North Dakota is lagging the rest of the region, but also talk to an agronomist about some different ways that people might consider handling their field work this year.
Our practices in general?
Yeah, and so what Mark Cuso, who is a crop consultant in northeastern North Dakota, said is he thinks this is going to push a lot of people to try no-till because it means only one pass across the field. So rather than trying to get tillage done, just forget it for this year and go. And then in places where, say, there's a lot of corn residue, he said, yeah, we like that organic material, but in a year like this when we need to get things dried out, we need to get in the field, let's just burn it and be done with it.
I know I had been seeing a lot of pictures on Facebook of last year's crop being burnt, at least the residue being burnt anyway.
Yeah, I think it's... I think it's something more people are going to have to consider because the calendar is just really not anyone's friend right now.
And some areas had a really decent start here, but golly, we're halfway through May already, and those final planting dates are approaching rapidly.
They really are. So let's hope that people start getting into those fields and making some progress.
Sounds interesting, Jenny. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. July Minneapolis wheat down one at 507. July Chicago wheat down 1¾ at 5.5. July Kansas City wheat up a quarter. July corn up 1.5 at 319. December corn up 0.5 at 332¼. July beans up 3.5 at 840¼. November beans up 3.5 at 847¼. In livestock markets, June live cattle up $2.42 at $96.55, August up 50 cents. May feeder cattle up 95 cents at $124.75, August up 30 cents. May lean hogs up 67 cents at $68.67, June down 55 cents. Thank you for joining us. Have a great rest of your day. This is the Red River Farm Network.